You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, Prime Minister Mark Carney was in Terrace recently to announce the new tranche of national building projects, noting that two will also be added to the list here in Northwest BC. The North Coast Transmission Line will now be added to the list of national building projects to be fast-tracked, as well as the Xylisims LNG terminal on Pierce Island just north of Gingolks. Following the presser, Prime Minister Carney took several questions from reporters just outside Terrace at a substation that is being built for the incoming transmission line. Many questions around concerns regarding First Nation consent, especially around the Prince Rupert gas transmission pipeline that will be needed to feed the facility. Here is a bit of what Prime Minister Mark Carney had to say about the projects that he announced and also the opposition that is growing to the PRGT pipeline and the Xylisims LNG terminal. Let's take a listen.
Sebastlisgan, which is Smoliak, which translates to the cedar mat has been laid, and you are welcome in my house. I would like to acknowledge that Terra sits on the traditional territory of the Tsimshian people, the Kitsilis and the Kitsimkalim. Canada, welcome to Northwest BC, and Terrace specifically. Terrace is the epicenter for all the major projects in Northwest BC. If it's LNG Canada, Cedar LNG, Xylisims LNG, Brucejack Mine, Red Chris Mine, all the other mining projects that are going on in the Tahltan Nation and the Golden Triangle, the Port of Prince Rupert and all the projects that are going on in Rupert as well. We are ready to work together to build a strong Canada. It is now my great privilege to introduce someone whose leadership and vision has inspired confidence both here and across the country. So on behalf of the City of Terrace, Northwest BC, I would like to welcome the Prime Minister of Canada, the Right Honourable Mark Carney. We appreciate you taking the time to travel here, and welcome to Terrace. Tuiksuk Noon.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all. Thank you very much, Mayor Boytash. Good morning. Bonjour tout le monde. It is a great pleasure to be here in beautiful BC, beautiful Terrace, this morning, to be joined as well by Minister Robertson and to be joined by the CEO of the Major Projects Office, Don Farrell. I'd like to acknowledge the representatives of the Kitsilis First Nation, the Kitsilis First Nations, and recognize that we are here on the traditional territory of the Tsimshian people. I'd like to acknowledge other representatives of other First Nations communities who've gathered with us today and whom we honor. The reason for this meeting is to announce the second group, the second tranche of major projects that will be referred to what's known as the Major Projects Office. Let me talk a bit about those projects and what they're here for. They're here to reinforce our nation. They are part of nation-building strategies to transform our economies, but to build all nations, to build Canada, and to build First Nations. They are strategies that will make our country more independent, more inclusive, more sustainable, and yes, more prosperous. Historic strengths based on close ties with the United States have become our vulnerabilities. We just released a budget last week, and in that budget we estimate that the U.S. tariffs and the associated uncertainty that they're causing will cost the Canadian people about 1.8% of our GDP. Now, let me translate that into real numbers. That's about $50 billion lost from our economy. It's the equivalent of $1,300 for every woman, man, and child in this country. That's because the world, U.S., changing rapidly. And so we must change our strategy dramatically. And we're doing that by drawing on our legacy as builders, a legacy forged for long by the people of British Columbia. Throughout our history, Canadians have built major projects that define our landscape and underwrite our prosperity. Projects like the railway that united the Maritimes around the time of Confederation. Projects like the Canadian Pacific Railway that helped bring British Columbia into Confederation. The Trans-Canada Highway that linked our nation. The St. Lawrence Seaway that has opened up new markets in the East for over $1 trillion of cargo and counting. We used to build in this country, and we are building our nation again. One of the first things that Canada's new government did was to pass something called the Building Canada Act. That was back in June. And this law changes the government's approach to building major projects from why to how. Those projects are projects that strengthen Canada's autonomy, our independence, strengthen our resilience, strengthen our security. They're projects that provide major economic benefits to Canadians, ones that have a high likelihood of success. Crucially, they are projects that advance the interests of Indigenous peoples. And they have to be projects that contribute to sustainable, clean growth. And the Major Projects Office is helping to build Canada smarter and quicker, fast-tracking infrastructure that we need to unlock our country's immense resources and potential. And in this way, we'll build our communities, grow new businesses, and create tens of thousands of new careers in sustainable industries. Back in September, in Edmonton, we referred projects that represent more than $60 billion in investment. And today, we're going to announce some projects that will double that impact. The budget that I referenced a moment ago, the budget of last week, reinforces our mission to build Canada strong. It's our plan so that Canadians take full control of our future. It's a plan to move from over-reliance on one trading partner, the United States, to resilience, to global shocks. It's a plan to replace uncertainty with prosperity. $1 trillion of investment in total over the next 5 years. That's $3,500 for every Canadian worker, twice what the Americans are taking away. Each of the projects that we're referring to the Major Projects Office today, in and of itself, is transformational. But the bigger point is that their impacts will be amplified by being part of bigger national strategies to boost Canada's competitiveness, including to realize our country's full potential as an energy superpower, by creating new trade and economic corridors that diversify our economy. Projects that help build Canada's leadership in critical minerals to increase our independence. And also projects that we won't discuss today, but projects that establish our data sovereignty so Canadians can be served safely and securely online. Now, Canada, let me start with our position as an energy superpower. We're starting to realize our full potential in both conventional, i.e. oil and gas, and clean energies. LNG is an essential fuel for the energy transition. LNG can help Canada build new trading relationships, especially in fast-growing markets in Asia. By 2040, it's estimated the global LNG demand will rise by 60%, and Canada will be ready. We're home to the world's fourth largest reserves of natural gas, and we have the potential to supply up to 100 million tons annually of new LNG exports to Asia. But that will require major investment across a wide range of infrastructure. And to encourage that investment, the budget provides new tax incentives to encourage the world's lowest carbon, I'll repeat, the world's lowest carbon LNG facilities. And the budget also expands the Canadian Infrastructure Bank's ability to support projects like Xylisim's LNG. Xylisim comprises a new gas pipeline a new electricity transmission line, and a new floating LNG export facility. Led by the Nisga'a Nation under President Eva Clayton, Cilicims will become Canada's second largest LNG facility with the capacity to export 12 million tons of LNG every year to new markets. It'll also be one of the world's cleanest LNG operations, with emissions an incredible 94% below the global average, and with the potential to reach net zero by the end of this decade. All while creating thousands of skilled careers and $4 billion contributions annually to our GDP. The federal government has been working closely with the province of British Columbia in the development of this project, most notably through a one project, one review, environmental assessment process, and associated consultations led by the province. In addition to consulting on the financing of Cilicim, the Major Project Office will also help coordinate timely approvals of all three elements of the project and the related transmission infrastructure that I'll discuss in a moment. Now, more broadly, taking a step back from LNG, core to becoming an energy superpower will be to fully capitalize on Canada's advantage in clean energy by substantially expanding our clean electricity grid. Over 80% of the electric power we produce in the country, it's higher obviously in British Columbia, but in the country as a whole, is clean. The point is, clean electrification is the path. It's the only path to building a sustainable, prosperous economy.
A number of First Nations oppose some of these projects, and some of the chiefs will be holding a press conference after this. What do you say to them, and how do you square pushing ahead with these projects in terms of reconciliation when there's so many nations that oppose them?
Well, let's be clear what's happening today. We are referring projects to the Major Projects Office so that all of the work is done, so that all of the information for that decision that I just referenced, the final investment decision for these projects, is available. And a crucial component of that, I don't mind repeating myself about this because it's essential, is full First Nations partnership and participation. Okay, and that comes with the knowledge of what the terms of the project are, what the possibilities are for that participation, and this is the single window that provides it. Referring to the MPO, the Major Projects Office, does not mean the project is approved. It means that all the efforts are being put in place from the federal government in order to create the conditions so it could move forward. But those decisions are taken by many parties, including very much First Nations.
So if the First Nations continue to oppose them, then there's a chance these projects will not go through?
Well, we'll see the decisions that are taken. But I underscore that when we speak to with respect to Cilicim, which is a multi-phase project or multi-aspect project, the very considerable support that exists already for that, and it links into a broader strategy that becomes available in the Northwest Critical Conservation Corridor, including considerable conservation in the area as well. So it is linked. There are many parties, and all of those parties have to be taken into account.
Next question, Pushing Kissing.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to trouble you with my second question, which has been asked already.
It's all right.
The Cilicim project is a big move towards your national energy goal, but there's still a lot of tension between the BC Premier Alberta and others who oppose on energy policy. How do you intend to bring everyone to the same table to keep Canada's energy vision united?
It hasn't been asked that well. I personally a big believer in cooperative federalism. The federal government has a role, the provinces have a role, First Nations, Indigenous peoples more broadly with the territories have central roles. We need to talk to each other. We need to understand each other's perspectives. We need to see where we can cooperate and build things. We need to acknowledge where we can't and not move forward. Part of what we're doing And I'm very encouraged by the progress that's being made in BC, in Alberta. And yes, there are differences of opinion about certain things, but we'll continue to have those discussions. Is that it is showing the scale of opportunity and ambition in this country, not for just for today, but for future generations. And it's that process that that will continue to bring us progress. Thank you.
We'll have time for two more questions.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Prime Minister. Colton Bazoyan, Vista News, Prince Rupert. My question is, the Lac-O-Lam's band near Prince Rupert has said they oppose both the solutions and the potential of an Alberta bitumen pipeline, and that it would go against Tsimshian law, forcing them to oppose it. How do you work with them to accommodate their beliefs and their belief system?
Yeah. First and foremost, and let's keep to Tsilisim, because that's what we're talking about today. The proponents of those projects and their engagement. It's with the province of British Columbia. Obviously, it's with the federal government as well to understand those perspectives. If there's any accommodations that can be made for those perspectives, this creates a process that allows that to happen. Thank you.
Last question, Canadian Press.
Thanks for taking my question. So there are some documents show the assets of the Tsilisim Air NG will be owned by the U.S. Company, Western Air NG. Why did you decide to prioritize an American-owned project? Thank you.
There's three aspects to this project. There is the LNG liquefaction, what's called liquefaction or export facility, which will be off Parris Island as the current plan. There's the pipeline. Where there is and there's an associated transmission line that is independent of the northern North Coast transmission line as well, and there are different ownership structures for the various aspects of the project. All aspects of the project are necessary for the project to move forward, and in those regards, there are different ownership structures, as I say, including with significant Indigenous ownership. And there is support that, because they're connected, there is support. It's not universal, but there is support for the project. There is also, I'll just underscore, there are always also opportunities for adjustments for ownership structures, if that is appropriate, and the federal government stands ready to facilitate those if that's appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Can we have the last question?
Sure.
Sorry.
Ryan Agata from Dogwood News. Following up on this question. So, as it stands, Western LNG is the owner of the Tsilisim terminal, and it would be built in Korea with Korean and Chinese steel. So, how much taxpayer money are we prepared to invest in a project that is American-owned and foreign-built?
There are different aspects of the project, as I said. There is the PRGT pipeline, which is necessary, which is Canadian-owned, First Nation. Sorry, can I finish? There is the associated transmission line that comes there. There are structures that come with projects that ensure that there is returns to taxpayers through the tax system as well. And the structure of the financing is a decision that we take with the full information of the project design. So that's part of, we answer that question with full information by doing the work, and that's what the referral to the major project office facilitates. Thank you.
Following Prime Minister Mark Carney's press conference near Terrace, a number of Indigenous leaders who oppose the project also spoke with reporters. Here is Gitnyau Chief Watakayet.
First, I'm from Gitnyau, and my territory is called Watakayet territory. I was looking for an opportunity to talk to the Prime Minister about the effects of LNG on our territory. The fact that we weren't consulted on, what the impacts were going to be on the Cranberry and the Nass River, what effects they're going to be from the compressor station. that's going to be on the territory. And we weren't consulted about what health impacts would be to my wilt and to the Kaneda as a whole.
Which project, are you opposed to the project? Are you opposed to the North Coast Transmission Line or the Silicon?
I'm not opposed to industry. I am specifically opposed to CSM's LNG because of the impacts that that pipeline will bring. You know, if we did projects with clean energy, I'd be all for it. But this one with compressor stations and everything else that the government is planning, I'm opposed to citizens.
Are you concerned about the environment, like you were talking about environmental impact? Or what is your main concern? Is it complication?
It's the health impacts. This is our territory. We did not cede the territory to government. And our chiefs went to Ocala prison protecting our territory. And that's our goal, is to protect the territory. And people should talk to doctors and nurses that actually work in Kitimat and see the impacts there. I don't want that on my territory. I don't want that for my great-grandchildren.
The Nisga wants the Silisims. What do you say about that?
I wonder why the Nisga would want a pipeline through their territory. They're not even going to own any of it. This is all going to be owned by billionaires in the United States. And if you look at what's going on all over the world, you're starting to see the impacts to health, to the air, to the environment, our fish and wildlife that we depend on. I don't see any reason why they would do this, because they don't even own any of it.
They do own part of Silisims, and they do own part of the Prince Rupert.
No, they don't.
You don't think they do?
No, they don't. You don't even have investors for this pipeline they're building. And if they do, they're all from the United States. Silisims doesn't own anything. They get rent for Pierce Island. And that's it. And people can tell us otherwise. But we do our research. We do it. And we have to do it in order to protect our territory.
So what happens if the government goes forward with this project, with these projects, this number of projects?
Well, you just heard the Prime Minister. My wilt is impacted by this. Wilt Amakyelt is impacted by this. But we didn't get the invitation because we're anti-pipeline. Minister Carney made sure he invited people that were going to back him up. Those people that are in it for the money and not for the environment, because number one is protection of the environment. And he did not say anything today that would guarantee protection for my will. My house group, we are the Kaneda clan, and that's our territory they're going to transact. But he never mentioned that. He just mentioned he's going to bulldoze through the territory like he owns it. Well, you can inform the Prime Minister he does not own it. We do. And I'll keep fighting. I'm not going to stop. Because to me, it's clean air. And the health of my great-grandchildren. Yes.
And how do you plan to fight this?
I'm going back on the ground. Whether I'm in 2 feet of snow, 10 feet of snow, it doesn't matter. I'm going back on the ground. Because if the Canadians do not want to protect the environment and they don't want to protect health, then we'll do it. Simple as that.
What do you mean you'll be on the ground, like you'll blockade?
I'm blocking. Because there is not one level of government, whether it be British Columbia or Canada, that has come to talk to me. I did not give permission. I did not give consent for them to be here.
If some nations want this and others don't, who should win in that battle?
Those of us that protect the environment.
What about those who want to stimulate their economy?
You take a look at Prince Rupert. That is a prime example of what government does. Prince Rupert is supposed to be a booming town. It has two ports. And yet Prince Rupert doesn't have clean water? Isn't that more important to us as Canadians to protect water? People that live in Prince Rupert have to buy water. I spent 2 days there. And you go out and you buy a bottle of water for $3-4 a bottle. And Carney's talking about bulldozing through BC so he and his billionaires can get a little bit richer. You all stand here, you know, and you ask questions. I'd like to ask you all where you stand on LNG. Because all of you should be protecting our environment, protecting the water, protecting the air. I'm not going to change my mind.
That was Gitanyahu Chief Wetekhayet, Deborah Good, speaking with reporters just outside of Terrace following Prime Minister Mark Carney's press conference, where he announced that the Tsilis-Sims LNG terminal will now be fast-tracked under the federal government's new legislation. We will bring you more on this story as it develops. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.